Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
As we've been working with our text in Hebrews, let's go ahead and turn there, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 8. We've been working through the book of Hebrews and making our way through the second chapter. Verse 8, we've been having a stronghold on us. Here it is. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Again, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. Now that's an important point as we begin, and you see it on the screen. If everything is subjected to the Lord, there's nothing that is not subject. If everything is secondary to God, there is nothing that is ahead of God. I'll do it again. If everything is secondary to God, there is nothing that is ahead of God. And so on Sunday, I started dealing with the dangers of lowering our expectations. And just to recapitulate so that we know where we are, three things happen when we lower our expectations. And when I'm talking about lowering your expectation, there is nothing that God cannot do. Do we agree? There is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing bigger than God. There is nothing stronger than God. There is nothing that can consume God. There is nothing God is afraid of. There is nothing that's going to take God by surprise. There is nothing that God says, I've never seen that before. There is nothing bigger than him, including us. Amen. Because some of us think we're bigger than God, and the devil is a liar. Okay? So we have lowered our expectations, and our lowered expectations often manifest when we need something from God. So we come to a place and things are hard, or you need anything from God. You need to be healed. You need increase in your resource, whatever it is. And that's when you figure out what you really believe. Okay? So three things. You should have this in your notes from Sunday, but if you don't, you get it again. Here it is. When you lower your expectation, you fail to hold yourself accountable to the standards of the word. If my expectation is lowered, then I'm not going to hold myself accountable to the word. If the word says, forgive and you shall be forgiven, that's what happens when you start lowering your expectation. You don't hold yourself accountable. Now, why would I do that? Because the world programs us to reject discomfort. Anything that's uncomfortable, we don't want to do. Do we agree? You don't want to do things that are uncomfortable, even if they're beneficial. Okay? Even if they're beneficial, you don't want to do things that are uncomfortable. So if I told you your life would change if you just started getting up earlier, then what you would then say is, for how long? Because what you're going to do is you're going to try to gauge whether or not you have enough willpower to withstand the discomfort for whatever the season is. But if God says your life is going to change if you get up earlier, for how long? Forever. Because we have to ask ourselves this question. Do I want the change to be temporary or do I want the change to be permanent? And if I want the change to be permanent, why can't my change be permanent? Let's do this again. Sometimes we are willing to do something hard for a season, but we want the change that is initiated by the hard thing to last forever. Did y'all hear what I just said? I'll do it again. So I'm willing to do something hard for a season, but I want the change that comes from doing that hard thing to last forever. That's not the way that works. I'll give it to you in the practical. If you start working out and your blood pressure goes down, right? When your blood pressure goes down, you can't stop working out. Let that settle. You see what I'm saying? So if you start working out and you start eating right and all of your blood pressure goes down and you come up off of all those meds that you were taking and the doctor says you don't have to take this and you don't have to take that and you don't have to take this no more and everything's looking good. And then you go, great, tomorrow I'm going to eat the cake. I'm eating the cake tomorrow. So the behavior that brought you to equilibrium must be consistent. Same thing spiritually. But when you have a lowered expectation, I'm not going to hold myself accountable. Number two, we fail to believe that what God promised is available. When I have a lowered expectation, I don't believe that what God said is what I can have. Sometimes that's because you know yourself. Amen. Sometimes it's because we have a faux belief of God. You don't really believe in God. You just like church. Number three. We accept when others normalize missing the mark. So I'm okay with you missing the mark because as long as I can applaud you missing the mark, I don't have to hit it. All right? So that's lowered expectations. And remember, when the Lord was giving out standards in the scripture, he was giving out those standards to the disciples before the cross, before the Holy Ghost, before the resurrection, and some of us aren't even living at that standard. And this is kind of where service went off the rails Sunday, so let's do that again. Luke 10, put it up on the screen. Luke chapter 10, because y'all wanted to dance. I was just trying to teach my lesson. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Stop. Notice that last part. He sent them where he was going to go. Now, we know from other texts in the Gospels, for instance, watch this. I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. Yeah. Right? How we handle a situation forms how people see God. How we handle situations forms how people see God. We can't be running around talking about I'm saved, sanctified, full of the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, you know, living with a burning flame and, you know, going to every service there is. And then every time something go wrong, you the first one to cuss somebody out. First one to cuss somebody out, right? How you handle situations forms how somebody sees God. They came to Jesus and said, I brought this person to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. I got a problem because watch this. During this time, the understanding, the behavior, the output of the disciple was a reflection of the discipler. So if we say we're Christians, disciples of Christ, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, how we behave, is a reflection on who we follow. Is that making any sense to anybody? So I think we give Jesus a bad name. We give Jesus a bad name when we're stingy, when we are selfish, when we're unforgiving. We give Jesus a bad name. When we're not generous, when we're not loving, when we're not caring, when we hold grudges, we give Jesus a bad name. When we open an unconfessed, unrepentant sin, we give Jesus a bad name. When we twist the scriptures and move with sordid gain, we give Jesus a bad name. When we are manipulators and mask wearers, we give Jesus a bad name. And then we have the nerve, the unmitigated gall, to try to make the scripture match the very things that we're doing. So we're going to sit there and say, it don't mean that no more. No, it means exactly what it says. We cannot lower the standard of the scripture simply because the standard makes you feel uncomfortable, especially when the Bible says spirit is willing, flesh is weak. Right? That's the Bible. Spirit is willing. And so if you're not willing, what are you walking in? Huh? Walk in the spirit? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? So if you're not willing, what are you walking in? The flesh. Does this make sense? And so he says, I'm going to send you and I'm coming after you. And then in verse 2, it says in the same text, he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, I got a labor problem. The laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest, not ours. This is why it bothers me when, I know, it don't bother everybody, but it bothers me when pastors get to talking about their members. Yeah. This is my members. Look at my members. No, no, no. It's his harvest. You belong to the Lord. I'm his under-shepherd. That's the language that the scripture would use. Under-shepherd, right? I'm responsible for those that the Lord is trusting me with. But you don't belong to me. No. You belong to the Lord. Does that make sense? Now, once this happens, run on down to verse 17, same passage. Look at verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons. Look at what excited them. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Oh, I love that verse. In other words, this is no big deal. 19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. I've given you this. I've given it to you. It's yours. I've given you authority. I've given you exousia. To tread on scorpions. I've given you the authority to put that thing up under your feet. Serpents, scorpions, the power of the enemy, nothing. Again, that was their pastor telling them that. They don't know Jesus is God. All they know is he's a rabbi. This is their pastor saying, y'all can do it. Does that make sense? So if Jesus... if Jesus, as their pastor, is saying, y'all got it. When I stand up as your pastor and say, y'all got it because of him, why don't you believe? It should be just as much. Like, you got it. It's going to be all right. Not because I'm good, but because he promised. It's going to be all right because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. It's going to be all right, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed go begging for bread. It's going to be all right, because though they slay you, yet will you trust him. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Well, Pastor, it don't look all right. But we walk by faith, not by sight. It's going to be all right. You got to believe that, and you got to live like that, and you got to move like that. But many of us don't. Does that make sense? Let's just be honest with ourselves. Many of us live like we just play Christians on Sunday. I know we don't like that, but that's true. Like we playing dress up. Because I know who you are when it get real. Amen? Okay. My man Scano, you know, he way taller than me. I'm aerodynamic. I'm short. And you know, I'm down here. Scano's, he's tall, right? So if we put a basketball in Scano's hand and put him in all the gear, and just don't say nothing. Just don't tell nobody his knees don't work no more. Don't say nothing. Just don't tell nobody that my man's knees don't work and the sciatica kick in every now and then. Just shh. Don't say nothing. Just put the ball in his hand, give him all the gear, put the lights on him, and let's do a photo shoot. And somebody might say, that's a hooper. Until we got to run up and down that court. And then all of a sudden, nah, man. Nah. Knees ain't working. Sciatica flaring, right? And that's how some of us are. See, when the music is going and the drums are playing, that's your photo shoot. And you can look as if you are a Christian until you really got to pray. Until you got to live it out. Until you got to forgive. Until there's a situation where you got to prove and you got to validate your trust in God. Where is your expectation? That's the question. Where's your expectation? Listen to the word, lowered expectation. What do you expect? Not what do you hope. What do you expect? You with me? If I go to my cell phone right now, and I pick up my cell phone, and I go to the phone part, and I dial a number, and I hit that button to send, I expect that it's going to function. If it don't, we got a problem. The bill's paid. Bill's paid. So my expectations are based upon the fact that I know I have no deficits. Okay. I can have that expectation. If it doesn't work, I can call. Something broke. But if your bill is not paid and you call and it doesn't function, now you don't have no expectation. See, many of us, let's see if y'all gonna be honest. Anybody's bill ever been past due and every time you pick it up, you just hope the call go through? Thank you. Some of y'all lying. You dial a number, you like, Lord Jesus. You're like, ooh, it's still on. Still on, right? Which means, watch this, the reason that you have no expectation is because you know you haven't done your part. You with me? And so every time the call goes through, you rejoice because you're surprised. Because you know you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Right? And so I need y'all to understand, even in church, when we go to praying for people and they go, I feel better, or I got the job, or it came through, why are we surprised? Why? I tell you why we're surprised, because our expectations are low. It's like the woman who went and Jesus is ascending and they're sitting up there gazing and the angel's like, why are y'all looking up? Why are y'all standing here looking up? I tell you why they were looking up, because despite the fact that Jesus had said, I'm going to go back to my Father, they still didn't believe it. So the ascension became a surprise because they didn't expect it to happen. Does that make sense? Same way when the women came to the cave. The women come to the tomb and they get there and the angel is like, don't y'all remember what Jesus told you? That on the third day he was going to get up just like he said he would. They was like, oh yeah, he did say that, didn't he? Which means they showed up with a lowered expectation. Many of us live every day with lowered expectations despite what we've read. Okay, here's a practical question. What does the scripture say about whatever your issue is? And are you living like you believe it? I'll do it again. What does the scripture say about whatever your issue is, and are you living like you believe it? He says, I've given you all of this power and nothing will injure you. Put up verse 20 for me, please. He said, don't even rejoice in that. That the spirits are subject. Rejoice that your names are recorded. Like if you're gonna praise me, I'll give you something to praise me about. Praise me because your name is recorded. Now that's amazing. Like if we really gonna get to, I can't believe you did that. Think about your own life. And think about, like, God is like, can you believe that I'm recording your name? Like of all the names I can record, I wrote yours down. I mean, I wrote your name down. Like if you're gonna rejoice over something, don't rejoice over the fact that, you know, you prayed for somebody and they got healed. I'm not saying that you're not, but watch that. Listen, God will mess around and heal somebody in spite of you. He will, right? Because people ask all the time. They're like, wait a minute, if preacher so-and-so or evangelist so-and-so, if they not living right, why did the miracle work? Because God loved the person who needed it. Right? So God will mess around and heal somebody in spite of you. He says, if you're going to really rejoice over something, rejoice over the fact that your name, Lord have mercy. And I mean, if we're really going to be honest about our history, the fact that our name is in the book, that's some good news. Now, if you've been singing Amazing Grace your whole life and all of that, then amen. Praise God for it. Now, let me take this a step further. Y'all okay so far? Let's go deeper. So this is the expectation. Say expectation. This is the expectations that we're supposed to have. The structure through which the Lord wants these expectations to be seen in the earth is the church. I'll do it again. The structure through which the Lord wants his expectations to be seen, to be manifest in the earth, is the church. The church, is his body. We are his body. So, what God wants, he wants to do through his body. A rebellious body is absolutely antagonistic to the Lord. Does that make sense? He's like, I got things I'm trying to do in the earth. I got changes I'm trying to make in the earth. And to do that, I want to use my body. So hear me when I say this point. Stop looking for someone else to do what God is expecting you to do. Lord, do it. He's like, you get up and do it. I'll give you some verses. Arise, take up your bed. Take up your bed and walk. Why you want me to carry your bed? Better yet, why you want Jesus to carry your bed? Nothing got quiet. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. Jesus already carried his cross. Why you want him to carry yours? It's getting quiet in here. It's getting quiet. It's getting quiet. Lord, I really need you to make a way. He said, okay, you need me to make a way? You are supposed to be the carrier of the way. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 1, verse 18. Let's put it up. And I know that I taught class last night to some students. We were teaching on the purpose and work of the Holy Spirit. And we got this thing wrong. It's a whole lot, y'all. We done got this thing wrong because we sending the Lord on errand missions. I grew up in that type of church where they would go in to pray and they say, Lord, so-and-so sick in the hospital. Go see about him. That's the kind of church I grew up in. Lord, so-and-so behind prison walls. Go see about him. Lord, so-and-so in the convalescent home. Go see about him. We was telling the Lord to go everywhere. We had the Lord going to the nursing homes. We had the Lord going to the hospitals. We had the Lord going to the prisons. We had the Lord going everywhere. And the Lord was like, you're my body. Think about the Great Commission, y'all. All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye. Go ye. And let me tell somebody in this room who is busy telling yourself that God ain't moving, you're the mover. You need to move. This is what it is. You need to move. Okay. There is a real estate agent that I study, one of the fastest growing real estate agents in the world. He's in New York. And he doesn't drive. He has a driver. Because in New York, it would actually waste time. So he has a driver to get him everywhere he wants to go. And so the driver sits there and waits and follows his schedule. And when he needs to get somewhere, the driver waits on him to get in the car and takes him where he wants to go. You still ain't caught it. We are supposed to be the vehicle through which the Lord moves about in the earth. But instead, we, as the vehicle, as the driver, we're telling the passenger where to go. Did y'all catch that? That don't make no sense at all. How in the world, and if we don't think we are, how many of us have ever told the Lord what we need? Oh, I know I'm messing with stuff. So if I'm going to tell the Lord what we need when I'm simply supposed to be rendering to the Lord what he wants, who's in control here? What we should be asking the Lord is, Lord, what do you need from me to accomplish your will in the earth? And if I line up with what he needs from me, then I automatically have the full weight of heaven behind me. Because his will's going to be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, there is absolutely no guarantee that the Lord is in alignment with what you want. But you can be absolutely guaranteed that if you do what he wants, that all of heaven backs you up. Amen. So what we do is we wake up every morning and we tell the Lord, this is what we're going to do today. As opposed to, good morning, Lord, what are we doing? What are we doing today? That's what you need me to do? You need me to go be a blessing over here? That's what I'm going to do. Lord, when I get to work, Lord, anything you need me to do specific when I get in the building? Oh, you need me to go pray, huh? Third cubicle on the left? Ooh, I don't like that cubicle, Lord. That's where you need me, Jesus? Lord, she gets on my nerves. Oh, that's where you need me. Oh, God. Now watch this. Don't get egotistical and think he needs you there because he needs you. He needs you there because he wants to go. And maybe the reason that she didn't act right towards you is because when she saw you, you didn't look like him. Right? Remember, in the text, I'm sending you to the city so that I can come. Are you with me here? So when we go and we are willing to say yes to God, what we're doing is we're carrying him. Yeah. But what has happened is we think that we're going. I'll leave his name out of this. One of the largest heretics of our age who passed away not too long ago. One of the largest heretics of our age moved into heresy pretty much because he believed that God was using him and only him, and he had exhausted his own ability to get around the world. So he said to God, Lord, I'm flying every week. I'm getting to as many places as I can, and there are still people who don't know you. I can't do no more. Think about this for a second. So he developed an entire new, well, it actually wasn't new, a heretical theology based upon another theology. He develops, writes books on it, and everybody thinks it's revolutionary, when the truth is you're an egotistical maniac who thinks you're the only one operating with God. And God can't move without you. Come on, y'all. All right. Ephesians 1:18. It says, everybody okay? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. The surpassing greatness of his power toward us who what? Who believe. If that who believe ain't you, you don't get the surpassing greatness of his power part. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things. Now we keep, this is where we started in Hebrews, right? Yeah. All things. How many things? All things. All things. Everything that has tried to make me worry, this verse comes up. Everything that has come up in my mind where I've said to God, God, how? I hear all things. Every time something seems like it's big, God reminds me. All things. Mind you, we're talking about the same Jesus who, while he was teaching, would look at a mountain and tell them, if you have faith, just tell it to move. Jesus, looking at mountains. We read that and we go, well, you know, it's a metaphor. Please understand that when Jesus would teach that stuff, he would literally tell them to look at that mountain. He was building belief based upon tangible. Okay. That's what God is trying to do for us. True, I know it. Truth be told, believers shouldn't need to see miracles. We shouldn't have to see it. I'm not saying that we won't. I'm not saying that we don't believe in it. Of course we do. But we shouldn't have to see it to believe it. We should just know. And watch this. Because we know it, then we should be the enactors of the miraculous towards those who need to believe. We should be the carriers, y'all. When somebody says, see, it always amazes me. So many of these people who say that they're great faith healers, you never see them walk through hospitals. You always see their healing in a controlled environment. They only can heal under certain circumstances. That's not the way Jesus did. And I'm supposed to be a carrier. Right? As he is, so are we. We quote it until we got to live it. Huh? Jesus is dealing with lepers, not people who got to his services. Okay, y'all. Jesus is dealing with people who pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Come on now. Not those who are announced. Jesus is dealing with people who take the roof off of houses and get lowered down on beds. In other words, Jesus was able to heal those that, watch this, the crowd did not prepare for. And I'm supposed to be a carrier of that. Right? It amazes me how all of these prophets, they don't prophesy at lunch to strangers. It's quiet in here. But what has happened is because we have normalized the performance, we've also lowered the expectation of legitimacy. And Jesus wasn't weird neither. He wasn't spooky. Come on, y'all. He turned water to wine at a party. He didn't turn water to wine at church. He turned water to wine in a multi-day party. Go understand the context of the culture. Wedding feasts would have been multiple days long, and they had to be really getting it in because all the wine was gone. So they wasn't even on day one. They had to be really partying. So Jesus had been there for a while, right? He does it at a party. When's the last time you saw the power of God move at a party? When's the last time revival broke out at Kroger? When's the last time we saw scores of individuals give their life to Jesus at a park that wasn't set up for church service? That you just walked up on the basketball court and was like, who needs Jesus? We're supposed to be carriers of that, but our expectations are lowered. And what I'm trying to do to this body and what God is tasking me to get our expectations up. And it starts with all of us going, excuse me, God, my bad. My bad. I apologize. Let me get my expectation up. Let me believe it for how I live at my own house. Let my children know that. Lord, before I go and lay hands on them, let me even walk in this level of peace when I'm by myself. Because I dare us get among people and act like spiritual giants when we're spiritual wimps alone. Amen. So how many things are in subjection? How many things? Look at verse 23. Which is his body? The fullness of him who fills all in all. So he gave those things which are in subjection to the church, and he just said the church is his body. It is the vehicle by which the Lord wants to exemplify these expectations in the earth. See, again, go back to your list. Even if we go back to the three things that I've been hammering for a couple of weeks now, you know, your health, your wealth, your resources. I mean, your health, your wealth, your relationships. Your health, your wealth, your relationships, right? Look at those three areas, because most of the issues we have fall in those three categories. Your health, your wealth, your relationships, right? God, what are your expectations? What are your expectations? I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prosper. Come on here. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, prosper and, huh? Be in good health, even as your soul, that's your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination, which means, watch this, if we're going to talk about being healthy, he's not just talking about being fit in body. He's talking about being fit in mind, huh? He's talking about being fit in your mind. It is not enough to have a fit body and to have a messed up mind. He wants you to have peace in your mind and not have high blood pressure. Come on in here. He wants both and. And I want you to prosper. I want you to prosper in every area of your life. That is his will for you. That is his expectation. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what your parents did, no matter what your history is, no matter what your generation is, that's still his expectation. Get yourself in alignment with that. Amen. And you say, I don't make enough. That doesn't change his expectation. See, if you begin to look at your wealth through the lens of your current, you'll never get to your promise. So you're saying, I don't make enough. And the Lord's like, right now you don't. And the reason possibly that you've been stuck at not enough for so long is because God knew if I get you to this next place, your expectations are so messed up that you're going to blow your harvest. So let me keep you here for a minute until your expectations get right. Then I'll open up the windows of heaven. Yeah. so that I know you'll be a steward. Because if I give it to you now and you don't steward it, you'll be like the prodigal who wasted on riotous living. Amen. It's coming, but you got to get your expectation up. And your expectation has to match his. And let me say this too. If the only reason you won't increase is for you, you're not ready for increase. If you want to be healthy so that you can turn heads, you're not ready for health. Huh? If you want your summer body so that somebody can be jealous, you're not ready. You're not ready. You got to get to the point of, God, listen, I want this body to be in absolute shape for your glory. I told the saints last night, listen, I don't want God to tell me, preach some more. And I go, God, I'm out of air. I'm serious. That's real, right? I don't want God to say, listen, we ain't done preaching. I said, but I am. I'm out of air. He said, but I'm not out of word. So now you mean to tell me that I'm asking God to give the vessel supernatural stamina because I haven't done the work to give it the natural stamina. That's right. Right? To all of these individuals talking about, just open your mouth and he'll fill it. But hot air. You got to give God something to work with. Amen. The greatest chefs in the world cannot cook you a good meal with no ingredients. The greatest chefs in the world, even Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, still needed 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Don't do this to me. Even Jesus, when he paid the taxes, still told him to go in the fish's mouth. Huh? Jesus always works with raw ingredients. Come on in here. Even Jesus, when he couldn't get nobody to talk, come on, through in the Old Testament, he used the mouth of a donkey. Come on now, because if you don't give him, he don't need what some other people need, but he's still going to use ingredients. Huh? He wants to use us when we're available. But the truth is, are you even available? Let me take that a step further. Your yes is more than verbalization. Your yes also includes actualization. Which means when I say yes to God, yes, I have to verbalize it, but I also have to actualize my habits to come into alignment with the yes. If I say yes to God, then the next question is, God, what does my yes require? And therefore, I'm going to put myself in alignment with the requirements of my yes. Amen. This is how we get our expectations up. It goes right back to the scenario. I expect the phone to work because I've paid the bill. Amen. And that's how we have to move. Lord, I expect you to move because me and you are in alignment. That's not arrogance. That's trust. I trust you, Lord. I expect you to move. I expect you to make a way because you can't fail. You can't fail. So this is the body. Now, the church, write this down. Ooh, I got some more minutes. It's great. Y'all all right? Come on. Oh, guys, I got one more page. Come on, y'all ready? The church is his organism of dominion in the earth. The church is his organism of dominion. When he wants us to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, that's not just about kids. That's about dominion. This is the church. We're supposed to have dominion in every area. When he says, occupy until I come, that word occupy, do business. This, the church is supposed to be able to do that. When it gets political season and folk want to come to the church, it's amazing how all of these politicians want to come to the church and campaign during political season. Right? You ain't see him none of the time. No other time during the year. No other time. We ain't seen hide nor hair of you. You want to come up in here. You ain't going to have no mic. You going to worship. No, you don't get to talk. Can I say a few words? You can say amen. It's all you get to say. You can lift your hands like the rest of us. Seriously. But why do they have that expectation? They have that expectation because the church has bowed to them. And so they come in making promises. If I get elected, this is what I'm going to do for your constituents. If I get elected, this is what I'm going to do for your congregation. Then we go to the polls, take off work, spend time in line to put them in office because they made us a promise. And then we got the nerve to get mad, tweet them all over social media, tell everybody how they didn't fulfill their promise. Meanwhile, you got a promise-keeping God. You got one who always keeps his promises, and you won't spend no time with him. You have no expectation of him, even though he always does exactly what he says he's going to do. And all he asks for you to do is love him. All he asks for you to do is tell somebody else about him. We got political bumper stickers on cars. You done put they signs in your yard and won't say nothing about Jesus. You are mumble mouth quiet when it comes to the Holy Ghost. You ain't got nothing to say when it comes to how good God has been to you. You won't tell them how he called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You won't tell them you used to be but God. But all of a sudden, we'll say that you want this person for mayor and that person for commission, this person for president and that person for senator. But why can't we put signs that say, I got Jesus and I'm glad about it? But the sign should be in your heart. You should be able to speak forth the praises of him. You should be able to say, this is who I stand for. But I tell you again, you mumble mouth quiet when it comes to Jesus. Only time we got something to say is when we around other people. But come on now, how about you have a campaign rally in the middle of your job? How about you have a campaign rally in the middle of work? How about you have a campaign rally while you're at lunch? You won't do it. Oh, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Okay. We gonna see. Live it. And live loud. I mean live loud. Huh? Like, nope. Ain't no doubt in my mind, they say. If we wondering, you living too soft. If I got to wonder whether or not you feel, you living too soft. No, don't get loud when he come through. Huh? Stay loud when you don't know whether or not it's going to happen. Huh? Stay loud. Stay loud. Huh? If you're ashamed to honor me before men, ain't this the word of God? All right, so watch this. So the church, as the church, the body of Christ, there's three things I need us to understand. The church should be carriers of his character. You should be a carrier of the character of God. Mm-hmm. Now, be honest with yourself. These should all be litmus tests. Lord, do I carry your character? Did I carry it today? Lord, did I carry your character today? Did every conversation, every email, every text, would you have sent that? Would you have watched that? Would you have eaten that? Would you have gone there? Would you have been seen with them? I have to be a carrier of his precepts. Let's go back to the first one. The first one, I said you have to be a carrier of his character. After all, we were made in his image and after his what? Likeness. Then I have to be a carrier of his precepts. His word shall I hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. If you're a carrier of his precepts, that means out of you, out of your belly should be flowing rivers of living water. Not let me get my Bible. Not let me invite you to church. Come on now. If you got to invite somebody to church to invite them to Jesus, what do you carry? Huh? I mean, think about this for a second. If we're carriers, they should meet Jesus before you get them to church. Like, you know what? And truth be told, churches would fill up if we just were carriers. Because people who don't have Jesus would be like, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but where you go, church? I'll meet you there. Huh? I mean, think about that. I had one of the greatest stakes of my life not too long ago, last year. I still remember that stake. I remember where I got it. Lord, I remember where I got it. I'm reserving my next trip for a special occasion. That steak was something special. And if anybody wants to know, just come ask me about it. I tell you all about it. Huh? Not ashamed. Ain't got no problem telling you exactly where to get it. I've had it. I can tell you everything about it. I know exactly how much it costs. And I can tell you that the cost was worth it because I paid it. The reason we can't lead people is because we're not. Because I can't lead you somewhere I've never been. So if you ask me about the steak, but I've never had it, I can't vouch for it. But I can vouch for this one because I've had it. And when somebody says, oh, but it seems like it costs so much, it's worth it. I'm telling you right now. Save. I'm serious. Huh? First time I've ever had a steak where I'm like, if you got to put some money back, save a little bit per check just so you can have it. Huh? When you get a steak that's so tender that you can hit it with a spoon, come on now. Yes. Yes, I knew that steak was going to be something when they said, sir, would you like to choose what kind of steak knife you want? And they brought out about 15, 20 different types of steak knives. I said, oh, it's about to be an experience. Because anytime I get to choose my steak knife, it's about to be real. Didn't bother me not one bit to pay full price for the steak. Does that make sense? So I got to be a carrier of his character, a carrier of his precepts, and then a carrier of his glory. A carrier of his glory. How in the world do you say you're full of the Holy Ghost but ain't got no glory? You just seem so down. You seem like you're so depressed. Yeah, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. How does that work? How does that work? How does that work? How are you full of the Holy Ghost but also full of darkness? Listen, let me say this. What the Bible says, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Yes, we fall short of the glory, but the Holy Ghost never falls short of the glory. Did y'all hear that? We fall short. The Holy Ghost don't fall short. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to stop here because I got two more passages, but our understanding of where we stand with God, especially in reference to where he stands, that's the thing. When you start saying, wait a minute, God, all things under your feet, therefore I should not worry. I'm just going to stay connected to you, and we all good. At that point, you ain't trying to leave the man. And it becomes simple. Lord, what do you want? What do you need? Have you seen those memes where they say, you know, would you stay here in this house, you know, for 30 days by yourself for $30 million? You know, people be like, absolutely, absolutely. It'd be like a house in the middle of the ocean by itself. And people be like, $30 million, absolutely, absolutely. And the Lord is like, so wait a minute. You gonna stay in the middle of the ocean by yourself for 30 days for some money and won't stay with me for 30 minutes? It's because we devalue presence. He is not priceless. We cheapen the presence where the dollars mean more to us than the presence. That's why, that's often why the things that we pray for are tangibles. Because that's what we value. I mean, that's often what we're praying for. Better job, better car, better house, more. What do you think would happen if sincerely you said, God, get me to a place in my life where I can spend the maximum amount of time with you without worry? Y'all missed that prayer. Y'all missed how powerful that prayer is. Get me to the place where I can spend the maximum amount of time with you without worry. Y'all still missed that prayer. Because if I got to spend the maximum amount of time with him without worry, that means that I have to have enough resources. She just caught it. I have to have enough resources to be able to say, you know what, I just think I'm going to pray all day today. Just going to pray all day today. It's going to be fun. Let's go spend time with Jesus today. Lord, can we go? Let's go for a walk, Jesus. Me and you. Let's go for a walk. Let's talk in the park. But see, the thing is, because of how we pray, it's a reflection of our heart. So watch how we would pray that prayer. Lord, give me enough money to spend time with you. God says, so the money is first, not me. It's a reflection of a heart, right? Lord, I want to spend time with you. However you fund it is fine. However you're going to fund it, we good. Because my heart is you. And whatever you got to do, because I just want to be with you. And there's no way that you can fulfill that prayer and I not be okay. Because in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Y'all see what I'm saying? When you start praying like that, that's when God is like, now we're getting it. But here's the question I have for you. Do you even have that expectation of him? Let me say this and I'm going to pray. Do you feel like if you trusted God, he would drop you? Now, in face value, you go, oh, no, he would never drop me. But we live like he will. We live as if we got to look out for us. As opposed to, you're not going to drop me. You got it. We good. Anybody ever been in the car with somebody who you don't like they driving so you won't go to sleep? Anybody ever been in the car with that person? You like, ooh, you drive a little funny. I'm going to stay up the whole time. We not sleeping. Now here's what we do. We treat God like that. We like, Lord, you like to make zigs and zags that I don't care for. So I got to keep my hand on the wheel. He won't drop you. That's his promise. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this. Thank you for your word. I thank you for truth. Now, God, allow us to live like we believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. Y'all learned something tonight?
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.